God is indeed here with us. Luke 2:11 says it this way, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Well, good evening and Merry Christmas on this Christmas Eve. Last month, Carson and I watched Annie, the 1982 version. And this was a first for me because as a 12-year-old boy growing up in the neighborhood that I grew up in, nothing about the idea of watching a musical whose main character was a freckled-faced girl who wore a red dress and had an orange afro had any appeal to me. But now that I am older, more refined, and in desperate need of finding things to keep my 7-year-old occupied, now that it gets dark at 4:58 p.m., I decided to DVR Annie. I beg you, please, don't make me turn in my man card. I was desperate. Now, I could have done without all of the music, and thanks to DVR, for the most part, I did. But I must say that the plot line wasn't half bad. Now, for those of you who did not have the privilege, like me, of watching Annie growing up, let me give you just a quick synopsis. Annie lives in an orphanage, and she is selected to spend a week in the home of Mr. Warbucks, who is fantastically wealthy. I know we joke about Pastor David, who is our administration pastor, loving money more than people, but Mr. Warbucks honestly loved money more than people. Well, in the course of just a few short days, Annie had won the heart of this man through her wit, her wisdom, and her charm. She sang and danced her way into his heart. And her impact on his life was so profound that Mr. Warbucks decided that he wanted to adopt Annie as his own daughter. So it was the classic rags-to-riches story. All of Annie's problems would be solved. Her deepest longings would be satisfied. She would finally have a family to call her own, a sense of identity and security. She would never want for anything the rest of her life. But there was just one problem. You see, when Annie's parents dropped her off at the orphanage years earlier, they left her with a locket and a promise that one day they would come back for her. And so Annie held on to that locket and she held on to that promise. And with everything that she stood to gain through Mr. Warbucks' generous offer, Annie refused to give up on the hope of being reunited with her parents. You see, it wasn't a life of privilege that she was looking for. It was a life of love. Although this was not what Mr. Warbucks was expecting, he certainly understood. Not only that, he set the wheels in motion to help Annie find her biological parents, even offering a cash reward of $50,000. Well, Annie wound up being kidnapped by some imposter parents. But in the end, when all was said and done, Annie was adopted by Mr. Warbucks, who married his secretary, and together they gave Annie the gift of family. So how does a 46-year-old man get sucked into a movie like this? Because there is something deep inside of us, all of us, that wants the good to prevail. That's what makes the great fairy tales and legends of old so popular. Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast, King Arthur. Those things, those stories, of course, they're not factually true. We know that. They didn't really happen. And yet they seem to fulfill the longings of the human heart. Why? Because deep inside the human heart, we all want to experience the stuff of fairy tales. We all want to experience the supernatural. We want to escape death. We want to be loved with a love that we can never lose. We want to see good triumph over evil. We want to mount up with wings and soar like eagles. Even though we know these stories aren't true, we find ourselves wishing that they were. Beauty and the Beast tells us that there is a love strong enough to break us out of the beastliness that we have created for ourselves. Sleeping Beauty tells us that we're in kind of a sleeping enchantment and that there's a noble prince who came to destroy the spell and to bring us back to life. So we hear stories like these and they awaken something in us. We want to believe they're real, that we should never die, that we should never lose those we love in death, that evil should not triumph. And the reason that we love these stories so much is because they point us to things that we all want to believe in. They remind us not of what life is, but of what life ought to be. Of course, they say we can't believe in fairy tales, the idea of moral absolutes, the supernatural, much less the notion that we can somehow live forever. Come on. I mean, that kind of thinking is bound up in the hearts of children. To give yourself to believing in fantasies like these betrays an unwillingness to face reality, to face life as it really is. That's what some say. And then we come to the Christmas story, which, unlike our modern day fairy tales, is not make-believe. The incarnation of God in the person of Christ is not fantasy, but rather reality that is rooted in history. Here we have a story about someone from another realm who breaks into our world to set us free from the curse of darkness and death. He comes with supernatural power to calm the storm and heal the sick and even raise the dead. But in spite of all of his power, and in spite of all of the good that he went about doing, his enemies plotted his demise and even put him to death. But on the third day, after his body had been laid in a cold, dark tomb, Jesus broke the power of death and he rose from the grave to rescue all who would believe in him. Death is defeated. Good triumphs over evil, and love is not lost in death. We are raised to live in a supernatural realm and experience a supernatural power to follow our Savior on a mission to lead other people out of captivity and into freedom. So the Christmas story is the story that points to all of those underlying realities that millions of people watch in movies all over the world every single day. And it's this story, a true story, a story that's more real than the air that we breathe, that makes life worth living. It resonates with us because we know that deep down inside, we were made for so much more than meets the eye. Solomon said that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. In other words, God has put something in us that yearns for more. And if we were honest, we would all say that there is a deep longing inside of us for a transcendent reality that would inspire our lives, that would infuse us with meaning and hope and power. Jesus is not just one more nice story pointing to the underlying realities of cherished fairy tales. Jesus is the underlying reality to which all other stories point. He comes to us from heaven. He is otherworldly. He is supernatural. He is everlasting. He has come to us because there is an evil sorcerer in this world, and people are, in fact, under his power. He is the noble prince who conquers darkness, who breaks the spell, who defeats death, and loves us with a love that will never die, a love from which we will never be parted. And one day we will soar through the heavens. And one day we will experience peace on earth under his capable reign. One of these days, all of these supernatural realities will come true in the Christ who came for us and is coming again for us. So if you're ever reading a book to one of your children or grandchildren and they say, I wish there really was a knight in shining armor who saved us from the dragon. I wish there really was a Superman. I wish I could fly. I wish we could live forever. You can say there is, and we will. And his name is Jesus, and he is our hero, our Savior, our conquering King, the one who defeated death by death that we might live forever. So we don't ever have to be afraid. Our greatest enemy has been defeated. Death is no longer something we dread because death brings us into the presence of the one who died to save us from death. Death brings us home to God. Tim Keller tells of a scene in the movie Hook where Maggie Smith plays an elderly Wendy from the Peter Pan story. She addresses Robin Williams, who is a grown-up Peter Pan at this point, who has amnesia. Children, that means he has difficulty remembering things. And he's amused by the stories that Wendy tells the children. But at one point, she looks right at him and says, Peter, the stories are true. Keller says, if Christmas really happened, it means the whole human race has amnesia. But the tales we love most aren't really just entertaining escapism. The gospel, because it is a true story, means that the best stories will be proved in the ultimate sense true. The Christmas story is the story of God becoming what he had made to save us from the mess that he made. It's the story of God coming into a broken world to rescue broken people, a people under the power of sin and the fear of death. The only hope of deliverance from sin and death is through death, God's death, the righteous for the unrighteous. The gospel is the story of the hero who is willing to die for the villain. God was born to us that he might die for us. He was willing to be laid in a cradle that he might be nailed to a cross. And in his death, we would be set free from death. God came to earth on a search and rescue mission that would require his life. God was willing to self-destruct that he might save us from self-destruction. And this story makes life worth living. This story wakes us up inside. This story frees us from all of that amnesia and gives us hope and strength for each new day as we live in anticipation of that final day, that day when our faith will become sight. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.